This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
This is Community Voices. Have a guest to suggest? Email us at communityvoices@nprillinois.org. Today, we meet another neighbor, reflect on President's Day, and learn more about Abraham Lincoln with historian Sam Wheeler and later historian Graham Peck.
I'm co-host Lee Bonner. Many days, Community Voices will feature your neighbors, artists, and business people in the area.
You're listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS. I'm Randy Eccles. Co-host Bee Bonner will be back soon. And today we have joining us Sam Wheeler. And Sam, we like to ask our guests to introduce themselves. So tell us a little about yourself.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on today. My name is Dr. Samuel Wheeler. I'm the former state historian of Illinois, worked for years at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. I'm a Springfield native, born and raised, and I will be sticking around the community for many years to come. In addition to being a historian, I'm a dad, and I've got an 8-year-old little boy named Owen. He's in District 186 here.
That's awesome. You said you're a Springfield native and you're sticking around. We always like to get that positive vibe. Why is it that Springfield keeps you tethered?
It's my home. I've lived in a few different places along the way while I was in graduate school and starting out as a young professional, but Springfield's home. This is where I grew up. This is where my mom and dad are. This is where my brother, his family, my nieces, nephews, goddaughters in the area, and this is where my friends and family live. I'm one of these people that would say there's no place I'd rather be than Springfield, Illinois right now, being around friends and family.
You're a historian. Is that your passion? What's your passion?
My passion, probably telling stories, being around people. Being a historian is one way I can do that. Going through school, I remember back to high school and certainly at a university. What's your favorite class? What are your favorite classes? And they always seem to be history. I kicked around different ideas. I started out as a psychology major, then a business major, and I took an accounting class and I said, my God, there's got to be more to life than crunching these numbers. What is it that I liked? What gave me some satisfaction? What did I like doing? And I always looked at it as it was those history classes. I liked researching. I liked writing. I liked to be able to distill information down in a narrative form with a purpose, being able to communicate with folks. I think at the nub of it, that's probably why I chose to become a historian. There's a lot of history to specialize in. I sort of got into the Civil War era, American history. When I first started studying the American Civil War, I remember the feeling that I had. There was a lot of horrifying information to be had when studying the American Civil War, to think about why it was fought, how it was fought, and how significant that period of history was. The American Revolution created the nation, but in so many ways, the American Civil War really settled what kind of a nation we would be. Out of that, Lincoln emerged as one of probably the most significant figure during that tragic era in American history. So it seems strange for me to say this. A historian from Springfield, Illinois, who specializes in Abraham Lincoln, believe me, it wasn't that cut and dry growing up. It was something very much after the fact. I had to sort of leave Springfield to learn about the Civil War and appreciate Lincoln. That's a little ironic.
At times we hear that this is a similar time with divisiveness in the country. From what you just said about the Civil War, that sounds like that comparison might be a little overblown, but what would your perspective be?
We are living in historic times. Probably most of the listeners today, if we think about those touchstone moments in history that we've lived through, some of your listeners probably remember exactly where they were when they heard about the JFK assassination. In my life, I remember exactly where I was on 9/11. That event still shapes our lives. But all of us have lived through a very significant period of time over the last year, a global pandemic that has taken almost 500,000 Americans at this point is remarkable. And I can say I never really thought about that, that that was a possibility. And then everything that goes along with that pandemic, the isolation, being away from groups of people, it has really changed our everyday lives, wearing our masks. In many ways, for some folks, going to the grocery store is taking a calculated risk these days. We never thought that would be possible. The civil unrest, the social unrest that's come along with the pandemic is significant as well. We have constitutional issues that we're dealing with as a society. They're supposedly wrapping up the impeachment process for a former president, which is a very interesting moment in our history. We're living in historic times. I dare say so far that those times probably pale in comparison to the Civil War when you delve down into it, just the scale that that war was fought on. If you didn't live in Virginia, for instance, or Georgia, if you weren't a witness to a battle, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say your life nonetheless was changed. During the American Civil War, estimates vary, maybe 620,000 soldiers, somewhere between 620,000 to maybe 750,000 soldiers perished. That was 2% of the American population in 1860. If we had a war like that today, it'd be something like 7 million of us would have served and not come back from that war. And if you think about it on that scale, everybody knew somebody that served in the war, certainly was maimed in the war, lost a limb, for instance, or never came home. So there wasn't a community that was spared. And then if we think about beyond the battlefield, the repercussions of the war, the end of American slavery, thank goodness, finally came. The Constitution changed in many ways. The economies of the country changed in so many ways. The Civil War dramatically altered American life, sometimes for the better, but not all the time. It's always good to keep that in perspective. God forbid another calamity on that scale should ever befall us.
Gear that we're in, and you think, as you mentioned, a ex-president being impeached, but also impeached for the second time is unusual. Yeah. And then in Lincoln's era, Lincoln, after he was assassinated as vice president, succeeded him, but he was impeached also.
There's a lot of history wrapped up in that. Abraham Lincoln, when he was elected president in 1860, his vice president was not Andrew Johnson. It was a fellow named Hannibal Hamlin, who was important for the ticket in the sense that Mr. Lincoln was elected from Illinois, a far western state back in the 19th century, if we think about the map then. And it was important to keep New England into the fold. And so Hannibal Hamlin, former Democrat, was put on the ticket for some balance. But then Mr. Lincoln was reelected in 1864. And it's an interesting marketing, interesting politics, why party bosses dropped Hannibal Hamlin from the ticket and instead chose Andrew Johnson, who was a Democrat from a Southern state who had remained loyal to the Union during the war, served as a loyal member in Congress, certainly, and then as a military governor when the hostilities had broken out. For a lot of ways, folks in the Republican Party thought Johnson would be a wise choice. That's another difference between the 19th century and today. It wasn't Abraham Lincoln choosing his vice president. It was really party bosses. It was the move perhaps above Lincoln that chose who his new vice president would be. The Republicans even changed their name in 1864. They ran on as the Unionist Party to try to get even some Democrats to join their side. If you're for maintaining the Union, well, my goodness, you've got to vote for the Lincoln-Johnson ticket. Lincoln and Johnson had corresponded during the war. I think it was a positive relationship as far as Lincoln saw it through the mails. He had respect for Johnson and his loyalty to the Union during the war. But when they met face to face, there's some evidence that the bloom was off the rose, so to speak. Johnson showed up by many accounts inebriated at the inauguration, gave a rambling, some say incoherent speech, They say he had too much whiskey. He says he just wasn't feeling good. It could be some combination of the two. Some sources say that Lincoln said something that day along the lines of, keep that man away from me. The relationship was not a close one for the very short time that Mr. Lincoln was still alive. Certainly, after the assassination, Johnson's presidency didn't turn out great. Johnson maintained that he was following Lincoln's plans for Reconstruction, but history would probably prove otherwise, that Lincoln would have fought for during Reconstruction to make emancipation meaningful for the freedmen. And Johnson certainly had other ideas. And ultimately, his personality, as well as some of those policies, got him in hot water. And yes, he was impeached.
Is it too much of a simplification to say that his removal of Stanton was what triggered it? Or
it's interesting when we think about impeachment, there's always a reason for impeachment. There's charges to be had, but we know the story is always much more complicated than that. There was not a rosy, wonderful relationship. And then he removed Stanton without consulting Congress, and then they impeached him. No, it was a long road to it. That was sort of the last straw. Impeached, but not removed from office, narrowly escaped that fate.
We've got a similar process playing out right now. It's also the month of February is both Lincoln's birthday and President's Day. We're talking right now on Community Voices with Dr. Sam Wheeler, former state historian, current historian. We thought it'd be good to touch base and see how today and yesterday sort of fit together. When you think of Lincoln's birthday in the month of February, what stands out for you?
The month of February is a special one for American history. You've got Abraham Lincoln's birthday on the 12th. You've got George Washington's birthday 10 days later. During our lifetimes, we have this holiday in the middle that we call President's Day that has evolved into celebration of both Lincoln and Washington. It's a very appropriate combination in the sense that George Washington founded the nation, probably the most important founding father. I don't think that's a stretch. Not only for his role in the American Revolution, but the Constitution, as well as leading this country as a president and all the precedents that he set along the way. In Abraham Lincoln's lifetime, George Washington was the ideal statesman. George Washington's birthday was celebrated during Abraham Lincoln's lifetime. In fact, during the American Civil War, when he was particularly frustrated with General McClellan's lack of movement during the Civil War, he gave him and all Union officers the ultimatum that they had to move forward by Washington's birthday. That was the day, the line that he drew in the sand by Washington's birthday, which very significant, obviously. When Lincoln died, he's assassinated 5 days after Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox. It's a very Shakespearean tragic ending to the American Civil War, to Abraham Lincoln's life. And assassination did a lot for Lincoln's legacy. He dies, it sounds ghoulish to say, but he died at the right time in his life, sort of at the peak of his power. And he becomes almost overnight a American saint of sorts. And he is elevated in the American mind and ultimately worldwide to that iconic status on a par to George Washington. So at his final funeral here in Springfield, folks walked into Representatives Hall to file past Mr. Lincoln's open casket. And on the left-hand side of the room in big letters, it said Washington the Father. And on the right, big letters, it said Lincoln the Savior. And in a lot of the eulogies that went on around the country, a lot of the rhetoric, Washington and Lincoln were talked about on a similar scale. Washington founded the nation, but Lincoln saved the nation, saved the Union by keeping it together, keeping the American experiment in popular government functioning. It's interesting, they're born 10 days apart, and we've got this great marketing holiday of a President's Day, but it's always good to stop and think about that juxtaposition of Washington and Lincoln and remembering their contributions to American history in so many ways. If it weren't for those two, their generations, what those Americans were able to accomplish, our world, our lives would look so different today, even here in 2021.
Sam Wheeler on how Lincoln's work continues to shape our lives today. Community Voices is a way to get to know your neighbors in these isolated times. Visit nprillinois.org and click on Community Voices to read about or listen on demand to past episodes. Sam Wheeler will return after a break to discuss the ranking of presidents and why Illinois has produced successful national leaders. We'll also meet Graham Peck.